like that. Tommy's got it. Love it. Okay, so we're going to talk this morning. Hey, let's just pray for a second. Lord, we just thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everybody's here, Lord. We're just praying for our loved ones, Lord. We're praying for people that we're missing. We're praying for people that are in need, Lord. We're mindful of people that don't know you. And I just pray this morning, Lord, you're just going to challenge our hearts, Lord. You're going to lift us up. You're going to encourage us. You're going to build us up. And, Lord, we're going to go out better. We're going to go out different, Lord. We're going to go out ready to change and to affect and to be passionate for the things of God, better and bigger than ever before. Lord, you're an incredible God, and we believe that the best is yet to come. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask you this morning, you would come, and you're just cajoling us, and you're moving us, Lord, and you're making changes in our hearts, Lord. And we welcome that because, Lord, we want to become more and more like Jesus. That is our goal, Lord, to make a difference in this world like you did. Lord, we love you this morning. I ask you to just encourage our hearts, allow us to hear this morning, build us up this morning in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So we've been looking this last few weeks at the way Jesus loved people. And I was praying this week and I was thinking about just various different people that Jesus loved. Again, we've looked at Lazarus. We haven't looked at Lazarus, but we may do. We've looked at Zacchaeus. We've looked at 10 lepers. We've looked at the Father and where source was from. We've looked at Peter. We're just looking at how Peter was a great friend of Jesus. And then this week, I was just praying, and I couldn't get away from this story of when Jesus meets the rich man. He meets this rich man, and it's a different story than the other ones because, unfortunately, if you know this story, it doesn't work out well. I mean, we're going to read it in just a moment, but he meets this rich man, and he's a guy who meets Jesus but doesn't change. And I thought, Lord, I wonder this morning, what is it you're trying to say to us through this kind of story? And I felt what God was saying was that we've got to realize that we love people no matter what, and our love comes from God, and so our love is not based on what we receive back. We love in spite of that because God is love, and God is inside of us. And Jesus loved this man, and although he never made a decision at the end of it to follow him, he still showed love, he still showed compassion, and he hoped and he believed, and God just kept going with love, and Jesus kept going with love, because who knows, love could turn him around. But I want us to be fully aware this morning, and maybe it's going to be a challenge in our hearts, is that as we go and be like Christ, as we go and love like Christ, people will reject us. People, as hard as that is to believe, because we know the goodness of God and we know how good God has been and we've tasted and seen how good God has been, but unfortunately some people are going to reject us. And so I want us to look at this story this morning. I want us to look at, I think it's there for a reason, this story. It's there for our benefit. It's there to encourage us. It's there to build us up. And I want us to pull some kind of truth and all the truth that God's got from us. So let's read it this morning. Matthew 19:16. Says this, just then a man came to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Verse 17, why do you ask me what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which one? He inquired. Jesus replied, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? So he gets to this point. He knows, there's still something I'm lacking. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Verse 22, but when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. An incredible story. Seems very simple on the outside, but surely verse 22 must be one of the most heartbreaking lines that we can read, because here's someone who meets Jesus but goes away unaffected, in a sense. He goes away, I'm just not willing to change, Jesus. I'm not willing to turn around. And it beggars belief to me, because I'm thinking to myself, wow, how could anybody ever meet Jesus and not come away different and not come away changed? Because I think about my life and I think about what the Lord has done for me, but then I realize how God has opened my eyes and he's given me faith to see and he's given me a heart to receive. But what if we meet some people that have been through some things and are hard in the outside? What way are we going to respond? What way are we going to love? And I hope from this story over this next few minutes, what we're going to see is that Jesus tries his very best to show love, to show truth, to show compassion with the very best effort that he has to try and see this guy's heart unlocked so that he would come follow him. Here's a guy who comes to Jesus. And he's got great wealth because it says he's a rich man. If we study it out, if we check it out, the chances are he's a Jew. So he sees himself just like Jesus.
And this is really important for us to get the heart of the story. And sometimes when we meet people out there and we think to ourselves, how am I going to reach this person? How am I going to show love to the atheist? How am I going to show love to the other person who's got a faith, who thinks that they've got a religion, and they're quite fine the way that they are? How am I going to reach these people? And Jesus very precisely and very full of wisdom tries to expose and ends up revealing the guy's limitations. But unfortunately, he's not willing to make a change. But it's important to note, this guy most likely comes from a Jewish background. He's rich. He's got all that he needs. He's coming from the same kind of background as Jesus. And I think what we got to realize is from the first line of this, he says, teacher, what good thing must I do? He says to him, teacher. He doesn't say to him, savior. He doesn't say to him, holy one or rabbi or anything like that. He just sees him as another teacher. He sees him almost as an equal. I felt like the Holy Spirit revealed this to me in my heart. He sees Jesus as just an equal. He's another Jew, and he's saying, hey, I've got a lot of stuff just like you, but there's just one thing I don't have. It's eternal life. Jesus, could you give it to me? And he says, good teacher, what good thing must I do? It seems like a great question, but in that tells the whole story. He says, what must I do? He's not looking Jesus to do anything for him. He's wondering, what can he do? Because he's been living his whole life based on religion. It's about working hard, praying hard, doing the right things, reading the right things. I'll eventually get there. But he's got to this place in his life where he's heard about Jesus, and he's realized, Jesus can do something I can't do. He's got eternal life. I wonder, could I get that? And he comes with this heart, he comes with this attitude, and instead of seeing him as king and instead of seeing him as Lord, he sees him as equal, and he says, you've got something I don't. How can I do a good thing to get it? How can I do a good thing to get it? And unfortunately for this guy, he just couldn't get the whole truth. But fortunately and hopefully for our hearts, we've seen it. There's nothing that we can do. It's a free gift from God. It's all about what Jesus has done. And religion sells us a lie that says, if I could only be good enough, if I could only pray enough, if I could only kind of outlast long enough, I'll make it. Jesus said, you'll never be good enough. It's all about me. You've got to receive me into your heart. Unfortunately, this guy never made it. I mean, it beggars belief to me in the beginning of this verse, because it's almost like the rich man is doing a deal with Jesus. It's almost like, you've got something for sale, I want to buy it, how much will it cost? Jesus tells him the cost of it, and he says, no, it's too much, I've got to move on. And this is how sad it is when we meet people, and we've got to show love and show compassion, because we're going to meet people that just don't see what we can see. I mean, Jesus is there and he's talking about eternal life, but the rich man is there and he thinks it's like he doesn't get that we're talking about eternal life. And he's willing to hold on to things that will only last for a short time to forfeit something that will last for eternity. It doesn't make any sense. I want to tell you this morning about a situation for me just recently about just realizing something of value and then getting it quickly. Because if we don't go for it, we miss it. Now, at the moment, we're looking out for tin house, and we're trying to get various different things for downstairs. And so one of the things I wanted to get was a Belfast sink, because I thought, well, that looked really nice, but I don't want to pay the full money for it. So I thought to myself, I want to get it cheap. I want to get it inexpensive. I want to get it on Gumtree. I want to get a deal on Gumtree. And so I look up in Gumtree, and I see this Belfast sink, and I think to myself, wow, it's just right beside me. It's just right down around the corner. I'll get it in the next couple of days. I had complacency. I was just like, yeah, it'll be fine. It was almost like I wanted it, but I didn't fully need it yet, because I was willing to let it slip away. And unfortunately, it did, and I was really cross. I was like, it was right beside me. And then I phoned the girl up and just like, I'm going to come down tomorrow. And you know, a Gumtree, you got to be quick. If it's something that you want to get, you want to make the deal, you got to make it quick, and you got to get it. I phoned her up a couple of days later. I was waiting for her to come back to me. She didn't come back to me. I phoned her up, and she says, oh, sorry, my auntie sold it. I was like, what? Your auntie sold it? I really needed this thing. And I missed out on it. But what I realized was this, is that instead of it being a great need, it was just a want. It was just a thought. It was just an idea. And I think what we're seeing in this story this morning is that the rich man comes to Jesus and he had this idea that he would like eternal life. But it wasn't a big need in his heart, because whenever you really need something, you'll sell everything to get it. Whenever you really need something, you'll just move heaven and earth to get it. I need this. I'm going to get it. Doesn't matter what the cost is. Now, let me tell you about another story, because I learned from that lesson. So when another Belfast sink came up, I was like, this one is going to be mine. So I thought to myself, I'm not even dealing. I'm not even haggling. I'm just doing the deal. I'm just getting it done. It was 20 pounds. The Lord is faithful. It went from 50 to the other one. Now I got one at 20. And I got one at 20 pounds, and I made the deal. But you know what? I had to drive further to get it. It cost me more in the long run because I wasted time because I didn't know what I fully wanted at the start. I didn't know that I needed it till I lost it, and then I needed it. But you know the sad thing about our lives is that sometimes we get opportunities with Jesus, and sometimes people get opportunities that we're going to meet, and it's a one-time only opportunity, and it may never come again. Because unfortunately, or fortunately in this life, you know how quickly life moves. It's mean you could be healthy one moment, everything going really well, and then suddenly it's gone in an instant. I was listening to this thing on the radio this week. It was talking about spinal injuries. Talking about this guy who was just playing rugby. He was simply playing rugby like all of us have done, or most of us have done. And a guy comes in, he's going for the ball, and his mate comes in. And it's not even a guy to come to tackle him. It's just a friend coming in to try to support him because he sees his friend going into the ruck. He's coming in to try and support him because the other guys are trying to beat him. His friend comes in, his knee slips, his neck falls in the wrong place, and he just knees him right in the side of the neck. Instantly, to disabled from the second vertebra down. Just no movement ever again. In an instant, everything changed. And I want to encourage our hearts this morning. How do we love people like this? We love them with an everlasting love, which Jesus says, I've come to die for the whole world. We're going to meet people that are not going to respond the same way as we're anticipating. They're not going to respond the same way as we have responded, but we got to love with an everlasting love because this might be the only chance. This may be the only opportunity. And I know that Jesus has left this story here for a reason to challenge our hearts this morning. Do we want things or do we need things? If our relationship with Jesus ever changes from a need to a want, we're getting in trouble. Because suddenly, instead of becoming Lord, he starts to become teacher. Instead of being king, suddenly he just becomes a good friend. And there's times when we get other good friends. And I'll get another good friend over here. I'll get another good friend over there. But when we realize that Jesus is king and not just teacher, when we realize he's Lord and not just friend, then we need him and we're not going to miss out. Let me tell you one more story just from downstairs. I was looking for these sofas, these Chesterfield sofas. They were breaking my heart for weeks. I don't know why people like them so much, but people say, we got to get them. They're really cool, all this kind of stuff. I was like, okay, we're going to get them. So I look on Gumtree. I see these two expensive. It's like, seems like a good price. I'm going to phone. I couldn't get through. I just couldn't get through the guy. And then eventually when I got through to the guy, he was just like, he was foreign fella. He just goes, no sold, bye. And that was it. It was heartbreaking. I wanted them, I needed them, but they weren't available. Jesus comes to this man, and he was available for him, but he missed them. Eventually, another two, an even better deal comes up. I made no deal about it. I just bought them straight away, and I went, and I got them. I want to encourage you this morning that this man came with a want, but it was never a need, and as a result, he let Jesus slip away. And I want to encourage us this morning, how are we going to love people? I don't want us to love people with any deficiencies. I want us to love people with Jesus. He gave his absolute best to this guy. He gave his absolute best. In other words, what he said was, if this guy misses out on me, it's going to be on his side, not on my side. And Jesus was fully aware of this guy's heart. He knew it from the first statement. He says, good teacher, tell me how I'm supposed to be good. What good thing can I do to have eternal life? Jesus was smart enough to know from the very beginning, this is a religious guy. It's going to be hard to crack him. It's going to be hard to break through in his heart, but I'm going to spend time with him. I mean, I don't know about me, and I don't know about you, but sometimes you've come across hard-hearted people like this, or you come across people that are religious and have got it all figured out. You're like, I don't want to waste my time. I just got to keep on moving. But Jesus loved to waste time on people. He loved to waste time on people. And the Lord is here this morning. He said, let's be careful in our own hearts that our wants don't ever become greater than our needs, that our need of Jesus is always the biggest thing because it gets scary any other way. Jesus was there. Jesus was there. And Jesus meets with them, but instead of being desperate, it's like, oh, do I really need this thing? The Lord challenges them. Down where in the middle of the verses, it says, what must I give? And Jesus says, you got to sell your possessions. What do I lack, he said. You got to sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. And this morning, I want us to just think for just a moment how crazy this is. Jesus comes with eternal life. He tells him how to get it. You just got to sell your possessions, and he won't give them up. He won't give them up. Imagine your possessions, your earthly things, the things that God has actually blessed you with, and sometimes we can forget that, could prevent you from eternal life. This guy's blessings, this guy's benefits, this person's possessions were holding him back from the benefit of eternal life. What an incredibly sad story. What an incredibly sad encounter that this guy has with Jesus, that he comes away unchanged. And yet, hope comes to him, love comes to him, and it seems to make no difference. You know what the truth was for this guy? Was that because he didn't see Jesus as Lord, he couldn't see this as being an addition to his life. He was blinded. And religion and life and sin will always blind us from the truth of God. God comes to him, Jesus comes to him, and comes with him eternal life. And instead of seeing the truth of that, he just sees, what am I going to lose? What am I going to have to give up? What am I going to have to take away from my life? And unfortunately, we're going to meet a lot of people like that. We're going to see a lot of people that we're going to present just incredible testimony to. We're going to present an incredible life to. We're going to tell them about eternal life and all the good things of God. And they're just not going to get it. They're going to be blinded to these things. And I thought of it just earlier on a few hours ago, and I thought to myself, wow, it almost was, instead of seeing addition, he saw subtraction. Instead of seeing a cross, which is a plus sign, he saw a minus. He didn't see what Jesus could offer for his life because of how religion had blinded us. And for a moment, let's just think what religion does. Religion always seems perfect. It always seems like I've got things perfect. If I go this way, everything's going to work out perfect for me. If I keep going, I'm going to be good. Religion is all about me saving myself because I can. Like the rich man, what good thing must I do? And that'll get me there. What good thing must I do? But when it came down to it, he couldn't do the thing that he needed to do. Religion never works out in the end because it's just too hard. Religion says there are good people and there are bad people. And I must be better than some of the other people because I'm a rich man. I deserve this. Good teacher, tell me how I get eternal life. Jesus says to him, you got to give up all of that stuff and come to me. But he could not do it. Teacher versus Lord. Jesus comes to him and he says this in verse 17. Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which one, he inquired. Jesus replied, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus calls him to something that he wasn't doing. And this is what his response. He says, I've kept all of these. I've kept all of these. I've kept all of these. And then very quickly, just after that, what does Jesus ask him to do? Give his possessions to the poor. He's just told him that he's kept all of them. Love your neighbor as yourself. I love all of those. I keep all of those. I'm sort of with those, Jesus. And just the next sentence down or the next conversation down, Jesus exposes it right there and then. Just exposes it fully to the guy. He makes him fully aware. And what does he do in that moment? He exposes his limits. But instead of seeing Jesus as his savior, he couldn't see it because he was still just a good teacher. He wasn't a savior. And I want to encourage us this morning that we constantly remind ourselves of a good Savior and not just a good teacher. He is a good teacher. He's a wonderful counselor, but he is our Savior. And if we're not careful, we fall into these realms of, oh, I'm living a good life and I'm doing a good job. And if I will just stay good, and all of those things are good, but they're not necessarily God because it's all about his goodness and his grace and his transformation on my life. And so this morning, I want to encourage us, never move away from Jesus as Lord. Never move away from living that out in our lives, that Jesus is Lord. Because for this guy, it was the fatal mistake. And because he couldn't see him as Lord, he couldn't see anything else as valuable. He couldn't see anything else as worth. And so when it came down to it, he saw his earthly treasure greater than his heavenly treasure. What a sad reality for this guy. Thank the Lord that we have not seen this. Thank the Lord that we have not fallen into this trap. And so how do we love like Jesus? We got to pray. We got to pray for the people around us who maybe see like this. We got to pray for the people around us who maybe think like this. We got to pray that we will go with words of love and with affirmation and with words of hope and with words of faith that will transform people out of that religious mindset or transform people out of that atheistic lifestyle or transform people out of this, sure, I'm a good person. What would I need this for? Why would I need to do that? I'll get there just on my own merits. We need people to know the reality of the gospel, that none of us were good enough. This is how Jesus sums it up just a few verses later. He says this in verse 23. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Truly I tell you, it's as hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." I mean, what an incredible set of verses. I mean, our whole lives were inspiring to get a load of money and all of those different things. I mean, make life better. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. And God's not specifically talking just solely about money. He's just talking about riches. If you feel like you're rich in your own life, if you feel like you've got everything you need, then you'll have no need of a Savior. But I wouldn't mind an upgrade. So if you could give me that eternal life, just tell me the good thing I need to do. Just tell me how much more it's going to cost. Could I go from like 5 gig data on my phone to unlimited data? How much more is that going to cost? If it's too expensive, don't worry, because I've still got 5, I'll still be good. I just wanted to know how much more it was going to cost me. If the cost isn't too bad, I'll go for it. And I want us to be very careful in our lives, and I feel like the Lord wants to challenge us in our spirits this morning. Let's be careful that we don't live with that kind of mentality in our hearts. You know, Jesus, just tell me how to get a wee bit more of you. If it's not too costly, I'll go for it. If it is too costly, I can just leave it for a while. I'll sort that out later. How many people have said that in terms of salvation, and how many people have missed it? Because the opportunity has come and gone, because that emotion or that feeling or that place that they were in, it suddenly changed and then everything was different. And God is here this morning. He wants us to realize that how hard it is for someone to receive from God when they feel that they've got everything they need. And for us this morning, if we ever lose that need of Jesus, then how hard it is for us to walk in the kingdom of God, how hard it is for us to bring the kingdom of God, how hard it is for us to be Jesus' representation on the earth and to be his ambassadors. Because if we feel that we're the Savior and we save ourselves, then there's no need to tell anybody else about Jesus Christ the Savior. And so this guy had himself in a position, unfortunately, because of his blessing and because of his riches, that he didn't really need a Savior. He just fancied an upgrade. And that upgrade on that day was eternal life. But because the cost was too high, he just thought, I'll maybe leave it. What an incredibly sad encounter with Jesus. I mean, it makes us aware this morning that we are going to meet people and we're going to face rejection. But how will we love? We will continue to love just like Jesus did. I'll spend time. I'll try to reveal the truth. I'll try to show the error of their ways. I'll show grace, mercy, and truth. And I'll believe and hope that transformation might come in this person's heart. But at the end of the day, the person has to make the decision themselves. This guy was fully deceived and missing the whole point. Think about 3 or 4 things I've written down this morning. Jesus was saying eternal life comes through me and living in me. He just couldn't see it. Jesus was saying you need to give up all to find something that you can never find, but he couldn't find it. I mean, men have searched high and low from generations, from time began for the secret to immortal life. And this guy was meeting him face to face, and he couldn't see it because of his own self-importance and because of his own self-worth. It's time to die to self so that you can live in Christ. But he just couldn't see it. Jesus said to him, I want you to give up your treasure for treasure far greater that will last forever. And he just couldn't see it. And I'm saying to us this morning in encouragement, but also in conviction, let's be careful that we don't gain too much treasure along the way in terms of what we have attained or what we have received, that it blocks us off from the greatest treasure, which is Jesus Christ. Let him always be our number one. Let him always be our focus. Let him always be our goal. Let him always be the one that we're after. Let him always be the person that we need the most. Let us not get to a place where we have Jesus and we're saved and we're set free, and we know that we're going to heaven, and then suddenly we start to settle in our blessings and we start to count our blessings, and it starts to become all about me, and it starts to be, look at all the good things that I have and look at the way the Lord has blessed me, instead of how am I going to bless him? Because bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless the Lord. This is God's heart for us. And this is when we live true and we live right and we be the love that God's calling us to be. But how quickly it is for men to get conceited in our hearts. How quickly it is for us, even as Christians, to get conceited in our hearts and go, wow, I've done a pretty good job this year. Look at the good things that the Lord has blessed me with. And instead of it becoming a delight and a heavenly treasure, it starts to become an idol. It starts to become a burden. It starts to become me and what I got to hold on to and what I got to keep. And the Lord is saying this morning, don't hold on to something that you can't keep, but let go of it and find something you can never lose, Jesus Christ. The Lord is here this morning, but the man, instead of seeing Jesus as heavenly riches, he thought of himself as, I'm going to lose too much. Verse 21, just to remind us again, says, Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. But you know, for us as Christians, we probably think to ourselves, well, that sounds like a pretty good deal. I mean, eternal life, if I have to give up a few things here, so what? I'm going to live forever up there, wherever it is, up there, wherever, here, wherever it tends, wherever it works out to be. But we're going to be with Jesus forever. And all we have to do is give up a few things here. Sounds like a pretty good deal. If it's about a deal, it sounds like a pretty good deal. But whenever you don't value who Jesus is, whenever you don't see him as king, whenever you don't see him as Lord, then you miss the value, so you miss the point, and you miss what it's all about. And then you start to weigh it up and go, nah, I don't think it's worth it. I'll wait till the next one comes along. Unfortunately for this man, he didn't realize there's only one Savior. There's only one way to get to heaven, and it's through Jesus. And maybe if he doesn't meet Jesus again, he's thinking he'll maybe meet somebody else who's offering eternal life at a cheaper price. But unfortunately, if he doesn't meet Jesus again, he'll never get the eternal life that he's actually after. He'll get one that he never desired. And God is here this morning saying, how are we going to love our world around us? How are we going to love the world around us? Are we just going to switch off at the first comment or the first reply? Or are we going to stick in there and love and waste time on people in the hope that the love of God flowing through our hearts will change people's lives forever? Final thing on the story. Jesus gave him everything that he had. He showed him everything that he needed to do. But at the end, in verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. He went away sad. I mean, what a testimony to meet Jesus and to come away sad. I mean, does it get much worse than that? To meet Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the living Savior, to meet Jesus and to come away sad, that should never be the case. To meet Jesus and to come away with a downtrodden heart or to come away with sadness, that should never be the case, because Jesus is life. And even when we come to Jesus, what does he say? Come to me just as you are. Come to me with your heavy burdens. Come to me with your heavy weights. Come to me with your stresses and your strains, and I'll make you light. I'll lift you up. I'll make your yoke easy. And this guy comes to Jesus, and he's got a few riches. And I'm sure when he became an older man, if he never met Jesus again, I know this, he definitely had regrets. I know this. Because anybody who has things as a younger man and he gets to an older man, you know what you realize? You realize that possessions aren't everything. You realize that there are more important things in life. You realize that there's something much more and something greater than life than just a few pounds in the bank account or just a few things in your front drive. There's something so much more precious than that. But because of the state that he was in, because of the place that he was in, he couldn't see Jesus as Lord. He saw him as equal. And as a result, he didn't value his response. He didn't value who he was. And he missed the greatest treasure he'll ever see. Imagine seeing Jesus and coming away going, wasn't what I expected. Just didn't meet my expectations. Didn't meet what I expected. I thought he was going to be, I don't know, shinier. I thought he was going to be brighter. I thought he was going to be better. I mean, anybody that comes away from Jesus with sadness in their heart has failed to see what's really there. And for us this morning, church, I never want us to lose the mystery of the gospel. I never want us to lose the wonder of Jesus. I never want us to lose that kind of awe-ness that we just stand in awe-ness, or sometimes we maybe just fall in awe because he is Jesus. I never want us to get to a place where he doesn't affect us anymore, where he doesn't move us anymore. Imagine when we got to a place in our Christian lives where we met Jesus and he didn't move us anymore. If we ever get to that place, phone as many people as you can and ask him to pray for you as quick as you can, because you need to get on your knees and you need to repent, because there's something scary that's taking place in your heart. Instead of being driven by the awe and wonder of the King of Kings, it's starting to seep away from you because maybe of life's issues and life's problems, and maybe because you failed to get to the secret place enough times. And God is here this morning, and he wants to challenge our hearts just as we're coming to a finish. Never forsake the secret place. Never forsake that hidden place with Jesus, where he will transform you, where he will cause you to shine, where he will elevate himself in your viewpoint, where he will lift himself up in your gaze, and he will remind you over and over and over again how wonderful and how great he is. We needed a Savior because we needed saved. And this morning, I don't want us to wallow in that in terms of being back there and beating ourselves up. But we all needed a Savior because we were all born in sin. There was no way out of it. The rich man comes to Jesus, and instead of seeing himself as a sinner, he saw himself as a rich man. And he needed something else that he didn't have, like all rich men see. How much is that going to cost? Because that's one thing I don't have. He didn't see what was going on in the inside. He totally missed it. And as a result, he missed Jesus on that day. He did not see who he was. He had everything in worldly possessions. He had everything you would think you would need. I'm sure he was intelligent. I'm sure he was smart. He had it all. And yet he missed the most important thing. Let me read one more story, and then we're going to be done. Luke 8, 43 to 48. It says, a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him, meaning Jesus, and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me, Jesus said. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all people, she told why she had touched him, and now she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Your faith. Your faith. Two people. One's a rich man, well-respected. Everybody probably thinks, look at that young guy. Look at all the things he's got. Look at all the good things that he's done. But he met Jesus, and he came away thinking, I'm probably just as good as him. Another lady who had nothing left. She was maybe rich at one time, but the Bible tells us that she spent everything she had trying to get better because she knew she needed saved. She spent everything she had trying to get better. She may have well had as much money as the young man, but she spent 12 years trying to get better. She knew her need, and she comes to Jesus with something that we all need to come to Jesus with. She comes to him with faith, and it's her faith that makes her well. And this morning, church, I want us to see two different people, but from two kind of similar starts, but one knows their need of Jesus, and one totally misses it. One well-respected, one doing well on the outside, but totally dead on the inside. One doing not good on the outside, and definitely not good on the inside, but comes to Jesus knowing if I could touch this man, everything would change. She doesn't even get to talk to Jesus. All she does is touches the hem of his garment, touches the edge of his cloak, and she's instantly healed because she recognizes who Jesus is. This man, the rich man, has a conversation with Jesus and yet comes away totally unaffected because he didn't see who he was. Church, we're going to worship this morning, and I want us to, these last few moments, remember and receive who Jesus really is. Ask the Lord just to open up our gaze again so that we can see Jesus for who he is, because when we do, he will heal us, he will transform us, he will totally, radically, continuously transform and change our lives. But I do not want any of us to ever get to a place of complacency where we lose the awe, where we lose the wonder, and we just think, oh, he's probably just another man. This is Jesus Christ, and he changed our lives forever. Let's stand this morning. We're going to worship and praise the Lord just as we're finished. Jesus loved the rich man just as much as he loved the lady with the issue of blood for 12 years. And Jesus said this morning, I want you to love the people around you, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from, no matter what you see on the outside, I want you to love. Jesus showed us this morning that people are worth wasting time on, that we show love no matter what, even in the face of religion or opposition. We show love even if we're not being recognized with what we have. And we love people with a God love because it could just transform somebody's life. Lord, I thank you this morning that you're here. I thank you this morning, Lord, that no possessions, Lord, could ever match. No possessions that we have could ever match what we have in Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you are our rich blessing, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you paid the highest price, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are our lamb that was slain, Lord. You are the one that saved us, Lord. I thank you this morning that we were once lost, we were once dead, Lord. We were once blind and we couldn't see, but then Jesus died and he set us free and now we see forevermore. And Lord, I pray this morning, just as we're finishing, Lord, that maybe this morning that we would fix our gaze afresh on Jesus. And our eyes would start to shine, our eyes would start to sparkle. And we would start to receive all over again his wonderful love, his wonderful grace, his awe, his majesty. And it would overflow and overwhelm our spirits so that our souls would cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. What he's done for me, he can do for you." Lord, I pray this morning as we look forward to a season of family and coming around Christmas that we take Jesus with us and everywhere we go, we bring that love of God to the people around us. And Lord, I pray this morning that we do not get dismayed by the rich man that we may face or the people that do not accept you. But Lord, that we would still look with eyes of love and with eyes of hope and we would say, "I will waste time on him even though because I'm going to believe that Jesus would do something in his heart." It says that he went away sad because he didn't receive Jesus that day. But I want to believe and I want to trust that the effect that Jesus had on his heart lasted more than that day. And maybe another day he came back and he received Jesus and he changed his life forever. I want to believe that. It may not be true, but I want to believe that. Because I know that God's love is incredible and love, God's love is good. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that we would break off rejection. We would break off the fear that someone might reject our message. That we would break off the fear that someone might reject us as we would share the love of God. And instead that we would push through regardless because we would say, "No matter if you reject me, I know I'm already accepted in Christ. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me." And that we would show love and we'd show mercy and we'd show grace regardless. Lord, this morning as we stand and worship, as we receive from you, as we come to the river, maybe we come for the 100th time, or maybe we come almost like for the first time again. Let us drink fresh from that water that never runs dry, from that water that will never cause us to thirst again, because it is that good. Lord, this morning, come and just move in our hearts in your precious name. Amen. Let's come to the river this morning and just drink afresh from his presence.